Alright, folks, this is Rebel Rousing Rich Bergeron.
This is the Tornado Always Ready, Tony Pennycow.
And Psychic Tom Padgett with his crystal ball wearing the dome.
Alright, we got a lot to talk about this week. So much stuff. Actually, not a lot. There wasn't a lot of fights last week, actually. I know nothing, so it's another week. I had to ask you guys what happened.
Right? You sound like Spencer Shelter. I know nothing.
I know nothing.
Actually, one thing I did want to bring up fight related. I was watching the fight card the other night on FS1. They had boxing on Tuesday nights. And I there's something about Tuesday night in boxing that just appeals to me. Maybe from my childhood, I don't know. But I just love fights on Tuesday nights. And, you know, so I got to sit back, watch them a little bit. And, you know, the one fight, and I apologize for not having the guys' names off the top of my head for the one fight. The one fighter, young guy, they were middleweights. This guy looked like he was about a good light heavyweight, you know, muscular, you know, put together. He was like,
the guy from Long Beach, Tony?
Was he wearing, like, green trunks?
Right, that was the first fight, yeah.
Yeah. That's the one where he was beating the guy up pretty good, and he got dropped in the last, like, minute and a half of the fight.
You know, that's one of those about how boxing, according to Larry Mercer, was the theater of the unexpected.
Uh-huh.
How
right.
could you figure that? You know what I mean?
I'm watching the fight with my dad, and, you know, we're sitting there, and this kid, you know, he's really lumping this other guy up, and he's, you know, got him marked up pretty good, and he's, you know, busting him up, and, you know, and we're watching the fight there, and it's like, all right, you know, man, and they're like, at any moment, this fight could be stopped. You know, he's beating him up pretty good. There's 2 minutes to go, and this is by the point, like, you want to see this other kid, the underdog, you know, maybe last the distance, you know, really, really fought hard. But the one fighter, you know, he just kept, at some points, dropping his hands, and he was getting sloppy because he wasn't fearing the retaliation. Then all of a sudden, left hook, boom, and he went down, and he went down hard. I mean, I was surprised he got up. And then he, you know, he had a hard time surviving the last few rounds, or the last few minutes, but he did, and he held on and won the decision. But you're right, theater of the unexpected.
Well, I bet you and your dad were yelling the same thing I was yelling. And I don't really care who won. I just wanted to see a nice ending like that, in a sense. And
right.
I bet you and your dad were yelling, "The body! Go to the body!" Man,
and a couple of the fights, you know, I remember Sergio Moore in the one fight, you know, was talking about, you know, sometimes it's like, you gotta learn to hit that body. Teddy Atlas is a major advocate of it. When you get a guy hurt, and I stress this when I train people, what happens is you get a person hurt, they instinctively throw up as they call it, or as Teddy Atlas would call it, the earmuffs. You know, they bring their hands real tight, and that body's wide open. Them headshots you shake off, them body shots you don't.
Right. Well, that was, and again, it was so hard to figure that, because the guy scoring the knockdown had not been able to break an egg all night. I mean, he was in there, a tough guy, making it competitive, throwing punches, but I think he lost every round, and he had shown no ability to hurt, and you're right, I got to get these names down, but showed no ability to hurt him, and the guy just got cocky, but you never know. You just never know.
Yep. I did not see that card. I did, I think, tune in for like a half a second. And I think I saw a punch thrown, but that's about it.
Well, I'm gonna jump over to the feature real quick. I am going to go back to that in a minute, because that was a very good fight, a split decision. But I wanted to just throw a quick feed on the main event. Something that, you know, bothered me as a fighter. And, you know, you have the Cuban fighter who's obviously the favorite in there, and Bartholomew, not Ramses Bartholomew, I guess it's his brother, obviously the favorite fighter going in there, you know, winning this fight relatively handily. You know, the guy put up a tough fight, you know, especially early, you know, he made it competitive. But Bellamy really started to take it to him. The, I believe it was the second to the last round, maybe the ninth round, Bartholomew knocks him down. And the corner is telling him to stay down. Stay down. Take the count. If you want to stop the fight, you can throw the towel in, which they eventually did. You don't tell me to stay down. I'm not staying down. Hey, I lost fights, you know, and there were times that I got stopped. I got stopped in my first fight, and I got stopped in the Nationals 1 year. I never was down for a 10 count. And I take pride in that. You know, I've been knocked down. I always got up.
Sometimes I got up and won. Here's the question. What, you have a standing 8 count, regardless. Okay? Even if you get up after 2 seconds, you are entitled to a standing 8 count unless the referee blows it and calls, you know, which I guess could happen, but it just, I never seen the sense in that. And I was talking to Scott Ledoux one night, the only time I ever met him, and he felt he could have gone on against George Foreman, but his corner kept telling him that same idiotic advice. Stay down and take the count and get up at the last second. Well, he was a little too late. And he said he could have got up earlier. What is the point in staying on your knees and risking something like you get up a little too late? If you stand up immediately, you're still going to get 8 seconds, right?
Now, I understand the point of maybe if you're stunned in a fight, you know, you get knocked down, you're stunned, and you go down to a knee, they might tell you, yeah, okay, stay down for a few seconds and, like, try to clear your head a little bit. Try to get, you know, I made a mistake the one time in a fight. I got knocked down, and I tried to pop right back up, and I wasn't ready. And I was still a little wobbly, and they stopped it. And I was behind on the cards anyway. There was only about 15 seconds to go. So for me, it was pissed off just because I wanted, you know, to make it to that final bell. Because I was so weight-drained and everything, I really had nothing left. But that was me trying to, oh my God, like the ground's a hot potato and I'm bouncing up. I can understand the point where they're saying, you know, stay down and, you know, clear your head. But the impression I got, I thought they were, you know, just trying to tell them to stay down and, you know, take the count, like take the full count, fight's over. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, you know, what you were saying was correct.
Well, I would say let the fighter make that decision. But if the fighter's okay, I mean, you should know your guy anyways, and all this stuff should be prearranged and talked about before. But if you're okay cognitively, get up. There's no point in staying down like that.
Right.
Well, just so we got the names, I do want to mention... Tyrone Davis and Mark Anthony Hernandez were the super welterweights in action.
That was a good fight. I thought the low blow point took off Tyrone Davis was unwarranted. I mean, he may have had some borderline shots, but you went a little bit low, not enough to take a point, and that could have cost him the fight.
And Tyrone won by split decision there. He's 12-1 now, and Hernandez takes his first loss, goes to 9-1. And it's LeDuan, LeDuan Bartholomew. He goes to lucky 13-0 over Reynaldo Blanco, who is 14-4 now after the TKO. And then we had Malcolm McAllister at middleweight going to 9-0 over Alejandro Torres, who goes to 9-3-2. So that was that one. We also had last week Jorge Linares getting another unanimous decision over his buddy Anthony Crolla. So there's no need for a three-peat on that one. It's two in a row unanimous decisions. What I don't understand here, though, and maybe Iceman John Scully could call us and talk to us about this one. He's been going off about titles this week. The WBC... The WBC World Lightweight title is the title he fought for before he fought Crolla twice, Jorge Linares, okay? And he obviously won. So I don't understand why now it's for the WBA two in a row against Crolla and no WBC on the line. What happened to the WBC? It's gone. So, yeah, he's 43-3 is his record, Jorge. And Crolla falls to 31-6 with three draws. And we got some big fights coming up, of course. But I got a funny aside here before we talk about the Bellator fights coming up. The big one is Rampage Jackson versus King Mo Lawal. It's a rematch from a decision that Jackson got over Lawal that was sort of controversial, like a lot of Rampage's decisions are. anyway, Rampage has been in the news this week because he said outright that he wishes he never got into MMA at this point in his life. He said, "I would have to honestly say that my biggest regret is even starting this sport. I think I would have lived a different life if I would have stayed in Memphis and worked in the family business. I would be closer to my family and growing old with them instead of living out in California." And he adds that, "My dream was to be a fighter, but when I look back on it, I wish I would have stayed at home to be with my family." And this is the final fight of his Bellator contract as well, so you got to imagine that's kind of like retirement talk. He says, "I gained a lot of fans, I made a lot of money, but I feel like I lost my family. I don't see them, I don't know them, my parents are getting older, and I'm living in California away from them. I have my own family here with my kids and such, but I miss my cousins, my parents, my sisters, and my brothers." And the family business was construction, so you can imagine he could have made a lot of money swinging a sledgehammer or running a jackhammer for the family business with those muscles. But he says, "I've been fighting a long time, and I think heavyweight will be a good home for me," as this fight against King Mo is a heavyweight instead of light heavyweight, so he doesn't have to cut the weight. This is another indication that he might be leaning towards retirement. but this is the funny part. This is exact quotes from Rampage here. He's a little bit offended here. He says, "King Mo got a big mouth, and I just really want to shut it up. The first fight, he thought he won the fight. I busted him up a bit, and all I had on my face was like a scratch. Now he has been fat shaming me. I find it funny, but he took the fight at heavyweight. I didn't ask to fight him. I wanted to fight a bigger guy, but he took the fight, and I think he should shut up about my weight because I'm not fat. I'm big boned." Which, if you're a South Park fan, is a line that one of South Park's most famous character is famous for saying. And
"I'm not fat, I'm big boned."
You guys could hear that. Let me play it one more time.
"I'm not fat, I'm big boned."
That's Cartman from South Park. That's Cartman's excuse, so it's kind of funny. That's I'm big boned. Yeah, he also says I'm pleasantly plump. That's another episode, I think. But that is
kind
so
of
funny.
A strange attitude he has, though, because California is not like living on Jupiter or something. I mean, it's not that difficult to hop a plane and come back quite often. Whatever.
Well, I mean, he's obviously thinking a lot about his future and his past, and you know, trying to make sense of his whole career here. And if he's having struggles with the weight cut, that tells you that he's probably having a little difficulty getting motivated to train as hard as he used to train. So we may see him retire after this one. If the UFC is not clamoring to get him back, that's going to be interesting, especially if he wins. If he gets a knockout or dominates this one, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what he says after the fight. But we'll get to that whole card a little bit later. Of course, wouldn't be a show if we didn't have to talk about Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather. I did not read the article about it, but I did read a headline this week about Conor McGregor paying a Nevada fine so that he could get his Nevada boxing license now. Not sure if he has gotten it yet or not, but he did pay the fine. I'm assuming it had something to do with him throwing water bottles at people, as I do remember him being fined for that. But I don't know if that's the incident or something else. But anyway, Bob Arum has obviously got some connections to Floyd Mayweather in the past, and he had to put in his two cents on this whole deal the other day. And he says, I think the only impediment here is the UFC, because the UFC doesn't treat fighters the same way that boxing promoters do. In other words, UFC fighters get so much less than boxers do. They proposed a deal to Conor that on his share of the purse, they take 50%. Now, give me a break. 50%, according to Bob Arum. How does he know? We do not know. Maybe he has some top secret sources that he met at the White House.
Well, Rick, you have to consider the source.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, the history of his comments about MMA, racist Nazi skinhead homosexuals, and on and on and on. I mean, I don't even believe he's still being quoted. I mean, why would the press even care?
So it's interesting.
Yeah, so I guess he knows things that the rest of us idiots don't.
But McGregor on IFL TV this week said that he and Mayweather are very close to signing a deal. Hold up is obviously usually about money, so I'm imagining that's a sticking point. But Bob Arum is quoted here as saying, if that fight doesn't happen, the blame will only be on the UFC, which is, I mean, of all the quotes in this article from him, that's probably the number one quote to believe.
I'm really shocked.
Everybody knows that.
I just wonder, though, if McGregor's ever going to have to defend his belt. It's been, when was it? November, I think, his last fight. Was it November? No, December.
And then we have Nick Diaz, obviously another guy with some controversy behind him, and another guy who's been talking about going over to the boxing realm, even though I do believe he still has fights on his UFC contract, although I don't know if he's officially unsuspended yet. I don't think he can legally box with fights under his UFC contract still without their permission, unless he retires officially from MMA, but we'll see. He's starting to get serious about it. So is his brother Nate. They want to follow the lead of Conor McGregor and start boxing, like a lot of MMA fighters have come out of the woodwork and said they want to do. But you know, for UFC license and under contract fighters, it's a lot harder than guys from Bellator, because they have open contracts. But UFC people, I mean, if this fight with Conor happens, like I said, it's going to be open the floodgates, because a lot of fighters are going to be saying, wait, what about me? Why can't I do that? You know, Anderson Silva being number one. But Nick Diaz, people have been trying to get back into MMA and trying to throw fight ideas at, who to bring him back against. And apparently, according to Nick, he's not gotten an offer he's going to take seriously from the UFC. So he's been talking a lot about boxing. And now a fighter from Canada is talking some major smack about Nick Diaz and wants him to know that it's not that easy. and it's Jean Pascal, former WBC, IBO, and The Ring magazine light heavyweight champ. And he says he's sick of UFC guys claiming they can hang with real boxers. And this is according to TMZ Sports. They've got a whole video of him verbally smack-talking Nick Diaz. He says he's nothing more than a coward from a redneck city. And last time I checked, California, Stockton.
Stockton here. Okay.
Yeah. Stockton, though, I mean, I wouldn't call them redneck. Redneck is a southern thing, isn't it?
Yes. Stockton's more like the hood or the barrio or something like that. I mean, I never call it that. But, the Diaz brothers take their hometown very serious, and I respect them for that. And, in fact, when Nick fought Robbie Lawler back in the early days, back in, I think that was 2003, and Robbie Lawler was training out of the Milicic camp then, and that was the hot camp of the day, and everyone thought this fight was going to be a slaughter. No one had heard of Nick, and Nick just came out, and he just kept saying, Stockton, bitch, Stockton, and he wound up knocking Lawler out.
that was a brutal one. So.
Yeah, they take soccer very serious. And for what it's worth, supposedly they've had some very high-level sparring with Andre Ward, and he's spoken very highly of their boxing skills. So I just can't imagine him getting a chance at a big fight immediately. But, hey, like you said, it all depends on McGregor. If McGregor can go to the top of the food chain, who knows? Anything's possible.
Yeah, I bet it was Andre Ward who said, hey, that's not a Stockton slap. That's what they call in boxing a jab. Right. A pawing jab. But I don't know. I kind of would side more with Nick Diaz being able to pick up the sport better than Conor McGregor. But, you know, Conor just has that brash style about him, that ability to sell himself, and he sold himself into this big money fight. But there's a big reason why Floyd Mayweather wants this fight so bad. I mean, him and 99% of the people who follow combat sports, I think, are sure that he's going to win.
Right, exactly. But you know, if you Google Nick Diaz and on YouTube, and it's don't do it unless you have a few hours, because I keep getting caught up in link after link, and there's a couple hours of my life down the drain. But he speaks very respectfully and very serious about the sparring work he's done with Andre Ward.
Right.
And he said that, you know, when you're at the highest levels, well, Tony, you know that about the Philadelphia gyms. They're not a gym.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're going with world-class athletes in there, those can be sometimes worse than the fight. And Philadelphia has always had that reputation. Back when I was a kid, you leave it in the gym. I mean, some of the gym wars in that city. And a lot of, so we'll see how that goes. It's going to be very interesting.
All right, well, it's not Friday the 13th, but it's Friday the 31st tomorrow, and we got a lot of fights coming up. We're going to start with boxing. We're going to start in a very weird place for boxing, and I'm pretty pissed about this one, not because there's bad fights, but because there's such good fights in this place, but we find from week to week such horrible fights in other places where you think there'd be better matches. But here we have in Petitionville, Haiti, a hell of a card that you would not expect to be so competitive here and so many decent fights here. We've got light heavyweights, Azea Agustama, 20 wins, 2 losses, fighting Gusmir Perdomo, who is 23-7. That's for a title, the WBA Fedolatin light heavyweight title. Also, super featherweights females, Melissa St. Veal, who is 9-2-3, and Jessica Gonzalez, who is 7-3-1. So you got two competitive fights leading the card, and one female, one male, and you know, top competitors here. It's in Haiti. And that one is for the WBC silver female super featherweight title. Also, lightweights, Evans Pierre, 27-1, fighting Alfonso Perez, who is 12-8. And rounding it off, we've got Wilmer Mejia, who is 21-8-2, fighting Daniel Scardina at super middleweight, who's 9-0. That one's for a title, too. The vacant WBA Fedecaribe super middleweight title. So, yeah, in Haiti, you'd think it'd be tough to do. But it ain't. And, you know, speaking of bad matchups, also on Friday in Tokyo, we have a mismatch of the week, mismatch of the month, maybe here. Super bantamweight, Tatsuya Takahashi, coming in at 25-6-5. He is fighting Rungpech Saithon Gym, and his record is a whopping 0-2. 0-2 versus 25-6. Even at super bantamweight.
You gotta wonder who the guys fought.
Yeah.
That's what I tell my guy after I'm working with the 0-2 guy. Don't be intimidated by a record. You don't know who he fought.
Well, if I knew any famous super bantamweights, I would name off some heroes there, but I don't, unfortunately. That's 0-2. Yeah. He lost to Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield at heavyweight. Now he's at bantamweight. All right, so let's see what else we got going on. WBC Latino flyweight title in Nicaragua up for grabs. Christopher Rosales coming in at 22-2 versus Eliezer Quezada, who has got 20 wins, 5 losses, and 2 draws there. Vacant WBC Latino super flyweight title also on the line between Melvin Lopez, who's 9-0, and Hugo Hernandez Aguilar, who's 9-1. And then we got the WBC Latino light flyweight title. Lots of Latino titles up for grabs. It's between Felix Alvarado, 26-2, and Luis De La Rosa, who is 24-7 there. And even some decent fights over in South Africa. A couple titles on the line. World Boxing Federation, World Bantamweight title. Probably definitely going to butcher this guy's name. It starts with an M and a Z. Mzu Vukili Magwaka. He is 17-0-2, fighting Jason Kanoy, who is 26-6-2. And then we got another bantamweight fight, Bukiwi Nonina, who is 10-3-1, fighting Alicia Graf, who is 29-5. That one's for the World Boxing Federation female bantamweight title. So WBF male and female bantamweight titles on that card in the co-main event there in South Africa. And I'm thinking we're going into Saturday. Oh, is that it? This isn't giving me a date. Oh, that's... hate it when BoxRec does that to me. Went into page 2 of Tuesday's fights. Instead of page 2 of the schedule. Come on. Box wreck. Alright. Used to be a lot easier when you could just, do the schedule and pick out the title fights. Anyway, Homestead, Pennsylvania. You know where that is, Tony?
I don't. Heard of it.
Homestead. Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead tomorrow night. Promoted by Mike McSorley of Integrity Fighter Promotions here. We got a main event of Luis Arias, who is 16-0. Fighting Scott Sigmund, who's 29-10-1 at middleweight. It's for the USBA middleweight title. And nothing really crazy to support that one. A lot of debuting fighters, TBAs. Let's see. And at the 2300 Arena, they've got one tomorrow night. Main event is Jerron Ennis, 9-0, fighting James Winchester, who's got 20 wins to go with 12 losses. And then, not a good name for a fighter, I don't think, but Emmanuel Folly at Super Bantamweight. Wait, he's 9-0, and he doesn't get knocked down, he follies. Luis Hinojosa is his opponent, and coming in at 30 wins, 10 losses there, and the entire opponent list for everybody else is TBA. When the fight's tomorrow night, you gotta love that. Keenan Smith. Keenan Smith is probably the fighter with the best record. Well, there's two 10-0 fighters on the list of people fighting TBA. Keenan coming in at 10-0, and Zolt Daranyi Jr. coming in at 10-0. That card. Let's see. And then we got Marco Huck versus Myris Bradis. Brightus. This is April Fool's Day over in Westfalen, Germany, Dortmund area. Marco's coming in as the vacant, or actually, I guess, the IBO World Cruiserweight Champion, and the vacant WBC World Cruiserweight title is on the line here as well. And this is something I think that this is part of the reason why Iceman John Scully went apeshit this week. With his emails about the titles, the WBC in particular. I guess they're making Tony Bellew an emeritus champion, which basically
worst ridiculous things.
Yeah, it basically means, you know, when you're on the shelf, you're not sure if you're coming back or not. You know, he's coming off a big heavyweight win, so he's not sure if he's going to stay at the cruiserweight division if he does come back. So they're basically giving him the option to fight for the title whenever he feels like coming back to cruiserweight. So Marco Huck and Maris Bradus are basically fighting for an interim title, so to speak. But Huck comes in with 40 wins, 3 losses, 1 draw. Bradus comes in undefeated, 21-0. And unlike a lot of cards over here in the United States, the co-main event here is a female fight, and there's nothing else on this card. This is just one big male fight, one big female fight. And it's a big one here for females. One loss between these two girls, 38 fights. So we've got Christina Hammer at middleweight. That's a good name for a boxer, Hammer. She is 20-0 fighting Maria Lindberg, who is 15-1-2. And I don't think her nickname is the Lindberg baby. But that's a tough one. WBO and WBC World Female Middleweight title on the line in that one. Let's see what else we got going on. Jesus Fight of the Week where else but Mexico. The Mexico Super Lightweight title. And it's not his first name, of course, but it was close enough. Luis Jesus Vidales. He's 11-4, fighting Neri Seguilan, who is 38-7 with 1 draw for the Mexico Super Lightweight title. Good luck, Jesus. Co-main event there is Catherine Fiore, 12-1, fighting Mariana Juarez. What a record for a female in this. 44-9-4. Holy shit. How did she get that many fights? Well, she's in Mexico. That explains a lot. That's for the WBC World Female Bantamweight title. And I'm guessing it's Mariana who has that title. But I don't know. So what are you guys doing for April Fool's Day? You're pranking anybody?
Of course. Secondly, you reminded me because I forgot about it. Well, I pranked somebody the other day because he was going to be out the rest of the week getting married this weekend, which is an April Fool to me. I pulled him aside because he's like my office buddy, and I was like, yo, man. I said, listen, I got the job. He's like, what? I said, yeah, I told you about it. What? I said, yeah, the job up closer to where I live. I found out I got it. You're leaving? And then I broke down and said April Fools. So I think tomorrow I'm going to get the supervisor of the department in on it. Depends on how busy I am when I get in. And then have her come out and basically tell everybody in the department that I'm leaving. And then they're all going to go ape shit. And then I'm going to laugh at them. I'm not getting married this year.
No. I got engaged last year on April Fool's Day. Yeah, by accident. No, it was my girlfriend's best friend. She has her own hair salon and everything, and she takes April Fool's Day so damn seriously. She put a sign out in front of her shop and everything that me and my girlfriend were getting engaged, and had signed her up for wedding registries, had flowers delivered to her work from me. Yeah, it was funny. She went to great lengths to do it, but it was all good fun.
I applaud that. Mine the other year was when I did that photo with the commercial shoot of me and that girl, and I was in a suit and she was in a wedding gown, but I waited 2 weeks after April Fool's and then I changed my status to married, posted the photo, and I got a lot of people ape shit on that one.
Well, anyway, we got some April Fool's Day fights all over the world Saturday. Puerto Rico, Alberto Machado coming in at undefeated at 16-0, fighting Juan Jose Martinez, who's 26-3. That one's for the vacant WBO NABO Super Featherweight title. It's the only fight on the card. Promoted by Miguel Cotto, actually. And then over in Russia, big in the news lately, Stanislav Kashtanov. He is 35-2, fighting Jonathan Wilson Sanchez, who's 11-0 there. And it's one of the only fights on the card. The other one is Dilmurad Satibaldiev, who is 11-1, fighting Abel Nicholas Adriel, who is 19-14-3. Let's see. Are we into Sunday yet? Oh, here's one. In Switzerland, even, we've got an April Fool's Day fight. Tefik Bajrami, coming in at 11-1, fighting Diego Javier Sanabria, who has 58 wins, 17 losses, and 3 draws. And none of those losses is anytime recent. That's a lot of fights. And we got somebody's O's got to go in Vegas at the Cosmopolitan, ESPN2. It's another Golden Boy Promotions card on ESPN. And I did catch a little bit of their first one, that their debut with this. And it's getting harder and harder for Oscar De La Hoya to promote good fights, but to get to ESPN2 in on it, or ESPN at all, when they're already dealing with premier boxing champions, it's pretty interesting. But anyway, welterweights, Antonio Orozco, 25-0, fighting Keandre Gibson, who's 16-0-1. And then also we've got a couple lightweights. Mercito Gesta, 29-1-2, fighting Gilberto Gonzalez, who's 26-3. And then another Gonzalez, Joet Gonzalez, at featherweight, coming in at 50-0, fighting Derek Murray, who's 13-1-1. Pretty good stuff there. And out in Maplewood, Minnesota, on April Fool's Day, we've got a WBA-NABA bantamweight title on the line between Stephen Young, who's 16-0-3, and the aforementioned TBA. TBA fighting for a title this week. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. 2 days from the fight, you don't even know who the title might go to. The main event is Caleb Truax, 27-3-2, against Eric Draper, who's 8-8-1. So, obviously, a tune-up fight for Mr. Truax. That's pretty interesting. Let's see. This is a big one in Worcester, Massachusetts there. Close to where I used to live in Webster. This guy was in jail for years for a major assault. I think there was a baseball bat involved. But I do remember when he was undefeated at the beginning of his career. And I believe Jackie Callen had something to do with him at the beginning of his career. But I think she only went to like 11 fights with him. But lightweight Matt Remillard, coming in at 23-1, hasn't fought in 6 years because he's been in jail. He's fighting Augustine Moras, who is 6-1-3. So, again, tune-up for him should be.
Three draws in 10 fights. What a unique record that is.
Yeah. Well, I guess he keeps you competitive.
His style must be just one of those real sloppy seesaw brawlers that rounds are pretty close.
Right.
It'll be an interesting fight. Cool name, too.
And Gilberto Mateus Domingos is in the co-main event. He is 22-6, fighting Vinny Carita, who's 15-1-1 at cruiserweight. And that's really the only majorly competitive bout as support for this one. There's one guy, Antonio Chavez Fernandez. He's coming in with a record of 7 wins, 30 losses, and 4 draws. Against Andy Gonzalez, who's 5-1. At super lightweight.
Now, you said, Rich, you grew up in that area?
Well, it's pretty much after or during college I was out there. In high school, I was more on the other side of Massachusetts, but it's more of a central Massachusetts area, Worcester. That's where I went to watch Marius Pujanowski versus Tim there.
You don't seem to have a trace of that Boston accent. Not a trace of it.
I kind of lost a little bit of it up here. Certain words.
I think you've lost all of it. My ears. Jeez,
certain words you can't run away from, you know, like, car. I gotta go drive the car. Yeah, you kind of start to round your R's a little bit when you get deeper into New Hampshire. Anyway, in the sleepy little town of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, next Tuesday, we've got the Fox Sports 1 fight card spicing up here. Edner Cherry in the main event against Omar Douglas at super featherweight. Edner is 35-7-2. Omar is 17-1. And our former guest, Ryan Kielzewski, coming in at 26-2, fighting Frank D'Alba, who's been somebody we put on our website a lot over the years. He's, I think we deal with one of his main promoters, managers, or publicists, because it seems like every other week I'm writing something, posting something about him. He fights a lot. He's 21-2-2 is his record, super featherweight. Also on the card, Trayshawn Wiggins coming in at 7-3, fighting Name Nelson, who's 13-2. That guy must have a tough time when they ask him, "What's your name?" "Name." "No, what's your name?" "Name. That is my name." Anyway. And let's see, Moscow's got a fight on Wednesday before the next show. This will be our last one, I guess. Sergey Lubkovich, 4-0, fighting Aram Amerkanyan, who is 8-0, the main event there. And then we've got Juan Alberto Godoy coming in at 33-15-1, fighting Artur Akhavov, who is 16-2. How bad is it when you got a fight card in the United States with all TBAs, and you got a fight card in Moscow, Russia, and every single person on a 12 fight card here is listed. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, what happened to the American work ethic? Well, that's gone. These young folks nowadays, plenty of work out there. Now, there's an example. I'm going to think about that with these employment reports.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of work. Get in the gym.
Yikes.
Wow, all those TBAs.
TBA.
Yeah, people sit around and say there's no opportunity. Yeah. That refutes it. Right there.
And, of course, the big mixed martial arts fight of the week is Bellator, I believe, 175. Yep. King Mo versus Quentin Jackson, as we mentioned earlier. Quentin Rampage Jackson comes in at 37-11. So, a lot of fights, obviously. 48. A lot of fights. And that doesn't include no contests, I don't believe, if he's ever had any of those, or amateur fights. Or any of that crap. But Muhammad Lawal, Mo, King Mo, as he's called, he is coming in with 20 wins to go with 6 losses. And the co-main event, Emmanuel Sanchez versus Marcus Galvo. Sanchez is 14-3, Galvo 18-7. And a great supporting bout between Sergey Karatanov, 23-6, versus Chase Gormley, 14-5. And like I said last week, it's not the snake, but Jake Roberts coming in at 7-1, fighting Steve Cazola, who is 7-0. And we got Noad Lahat, 10-2, fighting Lloyd Carter, who's 10-8. Joaquin Buckley, 6-1, fighting Justin Patterson, 9-1. Prince McLean, who is 7-8, fighting Adam Misijewski, who is 13-6-1. Damian Norris, 7-2, fighting Tom Schoaf, who's 8-2. Matthew Paul coming in at 1-1, fighting James Boknovich, who is 5-1. Nate Williams, 25-15, fighting Manny Vasquez, who's 10-2. Also, Joshua Dustin Hardwick, 2-0, versus Tim Cho, who's 2-0. 2-0 versus 2-0. Joshua Streaker, 1-1, versus Tom Holder, is 0-0. Corey Galloway, 8-5, fighting David Garcia, who's 4-2-1. And we won't go. The rest of the guys don't even have pictures on either side, so I'm not even going to go. List those guys. They got to earn it. They got to earn their spot on this show. Anyway. So that about does it for the upcoming stuff, and we didn't have a UFC fight card to talk about from last week, right?
No.
So we got a UFC break here until April 8th, I believe, is the next one. But King Mo versus Rampage should be an interesting fight. Also, Galvo versus Sanchez.
Well, you know, their first fight did not live up to all the trash talk.
Right.
So, I don't know.
King Mo can be boring, too. I mean, he's had his ups and downs. You know, he's got a stylistic thing that works against some fighters and doesn't work against others. But, you know, if Clinton's coming into this one, making sure this is the cherry on top and this is the last fight of his career, I think he's going to be a little bit more motivated to crush King Mo, and the step up to heavyweight, I think, favors Rampage a little bit more than King Mo, because King Mo is like not really built like a heavyweight at all. So Quentin, he's big boned, we know that. So
we'll just see how much he has left,
right,
mentally and physically.
Yes, sir. All right, do you guys have anything else before we go? Oh, wait a second, we got...
Yeah, I don't know. For the first time in my life, I think I'm speechless.
Let me just look through the Google alerts that I just got, make sure we don't miss anything. Breaking news or anything. All right. Nothing in the MMA links jumping out. Boxing. Let's see what's in boxing. Oh, former boxing champ David Haye claims UFC has reached out about fighting Jimmy Manua. Well, that's weird. I don't know if that means in an MMA cage or a boxing ring. Amir Khan says he'd beat Conor McGregor quite easily in a boxing match. Well, that's no surprise. This is a new one. Joe Fournier, banned from boxing for 18 months after testing positive for sibutramine. You know what that is, Tom?
No, I don't.
Sibutramine. I don't know what that is. That's just the headline. Let me check out. Samoan sniper Kirsty Lupamanu forced to end career due to a pituitary gland tumor. It's an odd one. I think that's what had, what's his name had there? Bigfoot Silva. Had that pituitary gland thing he just had to keep having surgery on. All right, here's the David Haye article.
Thank you for joining us.
Whoa.
On UFC Fight Pass.
Whoa.
Manuel gets impatient.
No. Jimmy Manua used his platform following a huge win at UFC London to call out boxing champion David Haye. And he could be getting his wish. He was in a Q&A with fans on social media when he was asked about the call out. And he said he's already heard from the UFC. He says, I was very impressed with his quick knockout the other night at the O2 Arena. If any of the mixed martial artists can convert over to be a successful boxer, he has definitely got the body shape and the style to do so. And something we are looking at the moment, he says. Obviously, it's a little way off being confirmed, but it's a fight that would unify a lot of the fans from both UFC and boxing to make a mega event. Of course, it does mention also Roy Jones Jr. and Anderson Silva. But also, Jones Jr. has claimed that he's had discussions with the UFC about boxing MMA fighters. So we'll see. I mean, maybe they're trying to work on a card finally. But yeah, Jimmy Manua in the mix.
Well, so far, none of this stuff has materialized, so
right.
I think you're right. Everyone's waiting on Connor, and that may be a floodgate.
All right.
But then again, if these MMA guys make that switch and go in at the highest levels, this mania may come to a abrupt halt.
Yeah. Okay, so Joe Fournier, he's a nightclub owner turned boxer. He claims he took a supplement called Perfect Shape that had this sibutramine in it. It was a June 25th test prior to his cruiserweight bout against Mustafa Steeny. I don't know why we're just hearing about it now. He is friends, this 33-year-old boxer, Fournier is friends with David Haye and has a number of interests away from the ring. So, another David Haye connection. He's also a former basketball player and was a personal trainer to a number of celebrities before taking up boxing. The box, which contains the capsules, doesn't mention the presence of the prohibited substance, while it does list other substances. So, again, one of those situations we've seen again and again. Let's see what else we got. That's pretty much it. It was due to the product being recommended by his coach and it not being labeled with specific information about its contents. But anyway, he'll probably get it reduced or maybe get a hearing and argue his way out of some of that suspension, but it's just crazy lists are getting longer and longer, and you know, nobody's really sure what kind of advantage some of this stuff gives you. But you know, the supplement companies seem to forget to list some stuff every now and then. It might be important to put on the list. Alright, so I guess that does it for us. Unless you guys got anything else to add.
I don't think I do.
Whoa.
All right, guys.
Hold on. Hold on. This has got to be a fake. This is in a forum. Steve Austin dead at 52?
What?
Stone Cold Steve Austin dead at 52?
Yeah, that's not something to joke about. If someone thinks that's kind of a sick April Fool's joke, that's really not cool.
Oh, that's on
I didn't hear anything about it.
RedGage.com. The WWE lost one of its true innovators Wednesday when Steve Williams, known to the world as Steve Austin, passed away at his Tilden, Texas ranch from a heart attack. The Rattlesnake, the toughest SOB in the WWE, or just plain Stone Cold, was perhaps the most widely recognized face of the company's Attitude Era, known for drinking beer and his frequent use of the middle finger nearly as much for his accomplishments. His popularity transcended wrestling and made him a cultural icon. And there's no mention of this being a joke. So, let me confirm it on Google. But that's a big one. Don't usually do
WWE
a lot of boxing stuff.
Doesn't have anything right now.
Alright. Why don't you just Google it?
That's what I'm doing next.
News. I don't see any death stories in the news, so. I don't know.
Nope, nothing there. Nothing there.
Yeah, that's gotta be an April Fool's joke in entirely bad taste.
Nothing. You know, you gotta wrap yourself around the mentality of someone that could come up with that idea. That's gonna think that's funny.
There's no date on it either, you know. But it's in the Google alerts for wrestling.
You said Wednesday, and that was yesterday. So it's like I'm on social media all the time. You know, as well as you know your business, you do that as well. You don't think one of us heard about it?
Right. This is the second time he's died today, writes somebody else on the forum where the link is. Might be a record. he should Yeah, I think it's fake. Not a Stone Cold lock yet, somebody wrote.
In fact, speaking of professional wrestling, did I send you guys the latest video I made of my top 10 Halloween costumes?
I do believe I did see that somewhere. I don't know if it was on Facebook or... I think it was on Facebook already, wasn't it?
It was on Facebook.
I did see that. All right.
Let me find it. Oh, that's all I got, Jeff.
All right. Well, till next week, guys. Thanks for stopping by, and have a good weekend.
All right, guys.
We'll talk next week.
Enjoy the fights. All right. You too as well.